This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for joining us on this wonderful day, as every day is wonderful because we're so blessed to be alive, aren't we? We have a good show ahead of us. We have Linda Ricks, one of our favorite guests on this show, and she is a co-CEO of AVIEW Technologies. They run AVIEWCentral.com, and they do a lot of different services, especially for human resources with the federal government. They run AVIEW Tech, and you can find AVIEW Central at AVIEWCentral.com and AVIEW, I think, Linda, is AVIEWTech.com?
It's AVIEWTech.com, yep.
Okay, AVIEWTech.com. You can find her company at AVIEWTech.com. Linda has a wide range of expertise in the federal government, used to be a federal employee, and now serves the federal government with her services from her company. Linda, we got a couple of things I want to talk about today, and I know you monitor these issues, but sequestration, I want to talk about hiring managers, I want to talk about kind of maybe, contract, you being a contractor yourself, about dealing with this federal dynamic of uncertainty, and how do you deal with that as we can maybe close the show out. I want to talk about those three things today. But let's first talk about sequestration and welcome and open it up, and how is sequestration impacting us right now?
Well, that's a pretty open question.
Go ahead and go in it. Go ahead and hit it.
the big subject of sequestration, it's kind of interesting. I think that it's kind of combined the forces of uncertainty with an expectation of very, very tight budgets going forward. So what I'm seeing is a lot of tightening inside the agencies while they're trying to keep their powder dry in case they have to make some type of a move as a result of sequestration. I think there's a lot of people who don't want to talk about it, and a lot of people who don't want to make that an issue, I think particularly with the election so close. So you're seeing agencies and employers outside of government, but employers like AVIEW and like a lot of the folks in the greater DC metro area, where as a contractor or supplier to the federal government, you're trying to figure out what direction is this likely to go in, what's the actual impact. The numbers are very dire if sequestration takes effect. We're under CR, so things have been flatlined for a period of time. People have been trying to prepare for potential cuts. They have stockpiled vacancies, they basically not filled jobs in preparation for that. So there's a huge, if it isn't a hiring pause or slowdown, it's a virtual freeze is the way I would characterize it. And then, recently we've had a lot of agencies who said, I can't get any thinner. So they are hiring. But the looming threat is one where people are trying to figure out how one does manage organizationally with what can be, for some of these agencies, I think it's in the 10 to 14% zone of a pretty big cost reduction. And, talking about the civilian agencies in particular. So it's really created a climate where things are uncertain. We've seen retirement surging up. As I said, we'll get people getting out of Dodge. But retirements are surging up in part because there are a lot of buyouts, while people get ready for this.
Do you think that, and as we go through sequestration, and how long, and from a contractor side and also from a government side, we're seeing these buyouts, we're seeing a number of other areas. Do you think this is having a true negative effect? You know, how to meet is it media hype, or is this having a true negative effect on government and contractors? And also, as we go into 2013, will this have a long lasting effect on our agencies and contractors?
I think it's having a serious negative effect. I think it's not only that, but I was watching CNN this morning, and they had some small business owners in the Northern Virginia area mm-hmm. talking, who are largely federal contractors. They're not big shops, but they're and their primary customers are the federal government, and they basically were in a growth period for a while. You know, this area has been a little bit of a bubble from the standpoint of the economic impact of other parts of the country have not been felt here to the same extent. But now it's sort of starting to come in as, you know, these small companies aren't going to be hiring. I think the large companies are really concerned. You see a lot of press around whether these companies should be prepared to send out layoff notices because state laws require notification period if the company is a certain size. So you're seeing a dynamic where where you might have had some opportunities. You know, if you were a job seeker, you might have had some opportunities with the federal government. You might have had some opportunities with federal contractors. And now you're seeing tightening on both sides of that equation. And that's being produced by the uncertainty. So by the time that level of uncertainty dissolves and people start to have confidence again, you're going to have dug a fairly big hole, particularly with the rate of retirement going up. So you've got a compound factor of retirement rates are going up. People are now feeling at least comfortable enough to retire, or feeling like a buyout is giving them the incentive to do that. So retirements are up higher than expected, and some talk about it as, you know, the long-awaited retirement tsunami has arrived. So that's up. And then you got almost no bench strength in the federal government. So.
But, you know, some will argue that they have been waiting. I mean, some candidates will say that they want the federal government to shrink by attrition and everything else, and that these federal agencies are too big at this point. I mean, would you argue and say otherwise, that the workload at these federal agencies is so massive that, you know, some of them honestly do need more people?
I think that the problem you have is twofold. One, I do think that the workload that the federal government bears right now is very high.
Okay.
The expectation on putting some initiatives in place to improve the overall economy has created new beneficiaries of government sponsored services. You have the Affordable Care Act that placed some additional requirements on the federal government for service delivery to citizens. So, you know, I think everything that's been building up to this has been an increase in government services.
You got a whole bunch of veterans out there that need services and support.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And while you may see retrenchment in some agencies, I don't think that overall the workload is reducing. Hmm. So you sort of have the And then the compound problem to that is your seasoned workforce, that is your highest capacity throughput. So the people that are really highly skilled, very knowledgeable, got the regs down pat, you know, really understand what they're doing, are retiring. And the way the government is structured is they're not allowed to overhire. So if I think my workforce is going to reduce by, you know, 10%, I can't hire another 10% above that staffing level just so I have a bench to move into those jobs, right? So the way the government works is we wait for that person to retire, and then we post that job, and then we go about the process of recruiting and trying to fill this position.
That seems quite backward, Linda.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's no transition period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the new hire comes in, and, you know, the experienced individuals are gone. There's no particular, you know, the government has over time in the last, you know, 10 years or so, maybe probably longer than that. I just hate to admit that I know longer than that. But You know, but in the last
you read about it. It's not because you're older, right? You read about it.
So, you know, the last 20 years or so, you're looking at just total erosion in training programs. You know, intern programs. We're finally trying to activate pathways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you're seeing this erosion over time of all these programs that brought this talent up, right? So now you're going to have a large entry-level workforce, complicated mission, difficult to execute, increased burden in terms of direct delivery of services to citizens from the federal government. And now you're going to end up with, you know, a pretty big deficit. I don't want to be, you know,
the bearer of bad news or down, Miss Doom or nothing like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm very worried about it. I think the lack of benches is really going to hit us hard.
You know, hold that right quick, because I want to kind of keep on talking about that. And this kind of leads us into the dynamic of hiring. As we look at hiring and we're not doing succession planning, and also there's some frustration from hiring managers sometime within agencies about who they can hire in terms of, you know, them thinking they can have the top quality person who they think they can do the job, where sometimes, you know, HR has other whether it be rules or regulations. They say, hey, listen, we can't hire this person because of whatever the case is. But I want to talk about all these things that we're seeing within the federal government and maybe find a way to dig out of this thing. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Linda Rick. She's a co-CEO of A-View Technologies. They run avuecentral.com. You can find it at avuecentral.com, A-V-U-E-central.com. They run that, and they also have human resources services and other services for federal government agencies. We'll talk about those more later on. But we're talking about what's going on with the federal government, sequestration, hiring, what's going on in terms of contractors dealing with the sequestration, the budget issues, and everything else. We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're having an interesting conversation about a number of topics. Sequestration, what's going on with hiring and hiring managers and the frustration of hiring within the federal government, and contractors, how they're dealing with this kind of situation with sequestration, the budget, the lack of clarity about what's going to happen with the federal government as we go forward into 2013 and finish out the rest of this year. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She is co-CEO of A-View Technologies. They're a government contractor, so they kind of know what's going on. But they run avuecentral.com, which is a good job site that you can look at in addition to USA Jobs and find federal jobs and everything else. They run a number of different contracts that help hire employees into the federal government. And AVU Central is one of the places where you can find those jobs and then move through AVU Central's technology to get hired within the federal government. Linda, you know, we were talking about sequestration and your concerns, and you really did kind of say, listen, you're very, very concerned about what's going on. And this not only having a short-term impact, but it having a long-term impact on the federal government and contractors. That leads into hiring and hiring managers, and maybe even for both contractors as well as government agencies. What is the impact on hiring, and what are we seeing with the frustration? Because I hear it from hiring managers, I hear it from even the people within agencies and people who are looking for jobs, that there's a frustration about either breaking into government. There's a frustration about people who are within government about, you know, I came in as an HR specialist. They paid for me to do work in intelligence, but then I tried to transfer over into intelligence. Now they won't let me do it. There's this, you know, barrier, it seems. Mm-hmm. This hiring manager saying, I can't get the best worker because HR is telling me, we got to go and do it this way, and I can't bring in the person I want to bring in.
Yep.
It's a lot. How do we deal with this stuff? I mean, because I just gave you a mouthful. I gave you a plate full of problems. I need some solutions.
Well, you know, I think one of the things we're seeing a lot from hiring managers right now is you know, we work with executives on long range kind of strategic planning of the workforce and how workforce management needs to take effect in the agencies. And I think what has happened is probably, you know, the HR community as a whole is a little bit older than the government community as a whole. And so they've actually retired at a faster rate. And a lot of the folks that have some seasoned experience with government understand that part of the capabilities of the human resource system, if you will, looking at the system in terms of the regulations and the policies, they can be tuned and tooled to be responsive in a situation like this.
Okay.
But it takes a lot of expertise to apply it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And to your example on the HR person that wants to be the intelligence officer kind of thing, the one thing that I think government needs to enact fairly quickly to take care of this sort of deficit that we're going to be seeing in terms of skill gap is putting in place programs that are not focused on, because everybody's been consumed and focused by the 80-day hiring model, right? And so what has happened as a result of that is we haven't been focused on things like, what are our internal assets? Where are they? What do they look like? What do people aspire to in their job? What kind of training are we already paying for? You know, what kind of development programs can we put into place that are really high caliber?
Right.
That can take a person and use a combination of things. I know that you know, a good example is the VA Acquisition Academy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, they have relationships with community colleges. They have relationships with employers. They are able to, and because they service more than the VA, they are able to build a very strong curriculum for acquisition personnel.
Right.
It's that kind of program that you need in the core disciplines in every agency. And then what that does is you can take people who desire to stay with the agency, love the mission, want to make a transfer, say, from an administrative function to a line mission function.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as long as you articulate the path and allow a lot of people to be able to compete to get into that path, then I think you do have the kind of strength of in a particular agency that will help push people through the pipeline the fastest and with the highest quality drive. And get those folks into jobs where we're starting to see a deficit of personnel.
But, you know, I mean, that's a great example. And I wonder, why aren't more agencies doing something like that? I mean, it seems to be almost be a very, very simple solution, because you do have a number of people, and we see it all the time, Linda, that some people will just go and do whatever they have to do to get into a government agency. So they say, listen, I just want to get in. But then after they get in for a while, they do say, you know what, I do want to, you know, I do want to maybe go back to school. I do want to do some other things and maybe go into another field in this agency and not be pigeonholed.
Yeah.
And it just seems so, you know, I've heard it from other people where they had to, even they were told to get out of the agency after they get the degree.
Yeah.
And then reapply.
I know.
in order to get into the job that they wanted to get into. And that just seemed to be such a waste of resources, a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Frustration on the person who's already in the agency and wants to stay. What is causing the problem? I mean, why can't we think about these simple solutions and implement them?
You know, I used to tell people this, and it was kind of joking, but not really. The first job you get in government determines your course in government,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you take a job just to get into the government, or you take a job because you need a job and that's a job, and you need to get employed, the problem with that in the government sector is it immediately locks you into this predefined career path. And it's very rigid. It's not very flexible. And part of that is because of OPM defines the qualification standards for these jobs, and a lot of these qualification standards very narrowly restrict people. So you may be able to get into any job at a 5 or a 7 or maybe even a 9, but if you're already an 11 administrative officer and you want to be a 12 intelligence analyst, you're going to go down before you go up.
Right.
And that's how the qual standards are written, and it's very rigid and very inflexible, and frankly, it's long overdue for a major overhaul to break down those barriers. That said,
now are these barriers that OPM put in place?
These are barriers that are actually produced by the way the qualification standards are written.
Okay.
And what it does is it actually reinforces this idea, and you'll see it all the time. If you go to USA Jobs and you look at a vacancy announcement,
mm-hmm.
it'll say you must have experience one grade below,
mm-hmm.
or 1 year of experience one grade below.
Right.
And so it has to be directly applicable to the job you're applying for.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
how you get stovepipe.
Mm-hmm.
So you get locked.
And then sometimes people get to a certain GS level, but the career they want to get into is another GS level, maybe lower. And it's like, well, I would some people say I would take a lower grade just to get into what I really uh-huh. want to get into. But it's like, well, nah, we can't do that.
Still don't qualify.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a really artificial constraint.
Okay.
There's no statutory basis for it.
Right.
You know, I always go back to, is there a law against this?
Right.
Or did we just do this to ourselves?
Right.
And, you know, the answer in this case is we did it to ourselves.
We're just shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so to some extent, I think the agencies have to go in, like, you know, relative to the VA Acquisition Academy, that is born out of senior management and leadership taking over that process and that function.
Okay.
Okay? So you do have to have, you can't just go to your HR office and expect, you know, that they're going to be the people who are going to tell you exactly what to do and how to do it, because they still have to have the management and the leadership will behind them
right.
to put these things into place. They cost money.
Okay.
You know, they cost money, and they cost money in terms of if people decide to do something a little bit differently than what they're doing now. How do we facilitate that transition, especially if there is a drop in productivity, you know, at the early stage of this, you know, the early phases of this? The other thing I think is what continues to keep the federal government sector from being reasonably agile is these kinds of limitations where they're seen as showstoppers, you know, and instead of being seen as, well, where did that come from? Who invented it? And how do we change it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly the process that should be pursued right now. We have to change that because it's a barrier to mission accomplishment and it's a barrier to productivity. And we're spending a lot of money propping up these artificial walls. And there's, you know, it just the underlying theory behind it is, you know, well, let's see, it's at least 50 years old.
Hmm. And that's it, huh? Hold that thought right there, Linda. We're going to come back and keep on talking about this because this is important. And maybe our conversation can maybe spur some conversation in the government to change some things, because it is very frustrating. I hear the frustration, and it frustrates me because it just seems to be very counterproductive in terms of government efficiency and creating a great and quality government workforce. We're talking to Linda Rick. She's co-CEO of AVU Technologies. They run AVUCentral.com, but they also provide a number of services to the federal government, HR services and other services that help government agencies succeed. We're talking about a number of different issues: sequestration, hiring within the federal government, hiring inefficiency in the federal government, and we'll be talking about contracting a little bit later, about how contractors can maybe survive the storm of what's going on with sequestration and budget issues and everything else. We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Listen each week for Tech Tuesday on Federal News Radio. Every Tuesday, we zero in on how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 11, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Then Tuesday afternoons at 12:30, join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO. Hear from the top of the food chain on how your agency is using technology today. Tech Tuesday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been having an interesting show about what's going on in government, sequestration, hiring issues, government contracting being affected, and how you survive the storm. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She runs, and she's a co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They are a government contractor. She's a former federal worker, so she's been on both sides. But they run AviewCentral.com, which is a kind of a federal job site you can check out, in addition to USA Jobs. And they also provide a number of services to federal government agencies, HR services, and everything else. Linda, we were talking about the hiring dynamic and mm-hmm. this frustration of people making these transitions. With hiring managers, you know, what are you hearing? Because I hear the frustration about I'm not getting the candidates that I want, or I'm hearing the frustration of not being able to hire who they want. I mean, some are able to get around it, and I've seen it happen. But mm-hmm. I do hear some hiring managers say that when they're presented with a list or they get the resumes in front of them, it's not who they want, or there's a number of frustrations in terms of hiring. What are you hearing?
I hear the same thing. I hear it kind of two forms. One is, you know, when the OPM 80-day hiring model went into effect, it ended up that out of the 80 days total time, managers get 7 days to actually make a selection decision. So the rest of it is consumed by the business process of posting jobs and doing all that. That is not a lot of time, particularly if you're going to interview constructively or if you have a lot of applicants. And part of the problem there is so the manager is getting frustrated by these kind of artificial time constraints being placed on them to make a decision that they're going to live with for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if they have a talented pool of candidates, they may want to, you know, do some subsequent assessments of those candidates in order to make the right call. So I hear that frustration. The other I hear is we're not getting quality candidates through the pipeline. So in a lot of agencies, managers are just not seeing the quality that they want to see, which is a bit weird given the labor market. And so there's
You would think you would have a whole slew of highly qualified candidates, because you not only have government workers applying, but you've got external people coming out of the private sector applying.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you know, a lot of college age kids. So there's that. And then the other is that I'm hearing more and more, and a lot of this has to do with the fact that the federal government runs on a blended workforce of contractors and, mm-hmm. you know, and federal employees. So a lot of times a hiring manager will be working with a contractor and know the contractor's performance. And we're not necessarily talking about a contractor that works in a big company. You know, we may be talking about somebody who's an independent contractor.
Okay.
Or someone along those lines, and there's no way to pick that person up on board as an employee. And so you see people who want to hire people. There are a couple of you know, situations where I've seen that, you know, HR folks are kind of lamenting, well, they shouldn't be, you know, trying to do is get this contractor on board as an employee. But the human experience of it is, I have experience with this person. I like their work. I like their performance. I like their skills. Why can't I get them on board? And so there's this process of creating kind of an illusion around competition. Like, well, we have to post the job. We have to go through these you know, this process to do this.
Right, right.
And at the same time, it saves the government a ton of money.
Is that not true? Is that, like, again, another artificial barrier? You know, or is it depending on what kind of agency you are? Is it depending if you're a competitive service or a SEPTA service?
It partially depends on agencies, because a lot of agencies have independent contractors that are former feds
mm-hmm.
that they could pick up on a reinstatement non-competitively.
Right.
A lot of times, though, you know, And federal employees will tell you, you know, that it's not fair. Like, there's a job they've had their eye on for a long time, and they've been waiting for that position to come open, and the manager has had a contractor in there working, and so they're not going to get a fair shot at competing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's complicated that way. But there is also no direct conversion. And I think it's probably time for the government to start thinking more about delegating more of the authority down to the agencies, having it less centralized, delegating more authority to hiring managers and looking at options like this, these direct conversions. Like, I think they should do that with veterans. Should be no question, you know, a direct conversion in from military because, you know, we have a priority on hiring veterans. It's a national priority, and it's a public service, you know, it's for the public good that we do these things. And so, you know, these direct conversions need to be more practically lined up,
Linda,
with that, where the labor market is.
Hold that thought. I know our segments are shortened out because me and you can talk all day. We can spend the whole day on the radio talking. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about contracting and how to weather the storm in our last few minutes. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She is the co-CEO of AVU Technologies. They run AVUCentral.com and also provide a number of services for federal government. You can find their site at AVUTech.com. We're talking about what's going on in the federal government, sequestration, budget issues, hiring issues, and now we're going to be talking about what's going on with contracting, how to weather the storm as a federal contractor. We'll be right back after this break. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Want the latest Department of Defense news? Listen every Wednesday for DoD Wednesday on Federal News Radio. Wednesday afternoons at 2, Federal News Radio DoD reporter Jared Serbu hosts On DoD, a discussion with senior managers about how the department meets its mission. Then stick around Wednesday afternoons at 3 when in-depth host Francis Rose brings you Pentagon Solutions, a deep dive into the issues and challenges of the defense community. All this plus our daily DoD updates at 40 past the hour, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been having a good conversation about different topics that's going on in federal government, sequestration, any kind of budget issues, hiring issues, and now we're going to be talking about contracting. We're talking with Linda Ricks. She runs and she's co-CEO of AVU Tech. You can find her at avutech.com, but they run avucentral.com, which is a good job site in addition to USA Jobs, where you can find federal jobs. Linda, you're a federal, you know, contractor. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with these issues firsthand. You've been on both sides as a federal worker and a contractor. How do you weather the storm? And, you know, in the last few minutes, you know, for other people who are thinking about getting this business or other contractors who are maybe small, medium, how do you weather the storm of sequestration and the non-clarity of budgets?
Yeah.
That's a heat, that's a lot, right?
Yeah. I think the bottom line on that is you know, when things get tight and your market is looking like there's a lot of uncertainty in the market, you just get into the, you know, a no-holds-barred total innovation game. Mm-hmm. And you start looking at what other products and services is the government going to need? That you know, what kinds of issues are coming up where you see that there isn't enough support for the federal government to get where it needs to go, and you start innovating dramatically along those lines. And I think, for the most part, if you're a small business working for the government, and there are a ton of those in this area, you know, a lot of it is going to, you know, look for freelancers, people that you can, you know, bring in. And I think a lot of people speculate that the workforce of the future is going to be largely a freelance community of people who are brought together in kind of a consortium to, you know, deliver on a certain contract or deliver a certain service or a supply.
Do you think, Linda, that there's still room for small businesses? And I mean, some people, you know, get concerned that the market is saturated, that it's too, you know, that there's enough federal contractors, whether it be big or small. You mentioned about freelancers. Is there room for people to break into this market if you're leaving from the federal, or you got some good ideas and you want to break into the federal market? You think it is?
Yes, I do. I think in particular in the last, you know, probably 8 years or so, mm-hmm. there's been a lot of focus on the federal government can be and has, you know, from my personal experience, been very willing early adopters. If the pain point is high enough, if there's something that has to be done, if resources have to be mobilized, the government can be quite anxious and eager to adopt innovations that make it possible for them to execute on that mission. But you have to be pretty good at, and you have to have a reasonable amount of depth from a subject matter, you know, expertise level, to be able to deliver exactly what's needed at the precise point in time. I think government does not do well when it attempts to do that, to do that kind of innovation itself. I think it's better, it's better suited as an adopter and a sponsor, particularly in technology and in areas like that, but also in new business models, new ways of delivering services to people. It's a, better off as a, as an adopter and sponsor of that.
So kind of funding, almost like funding maybe incubation or funding entrepreneurs to explore new ideas or something like that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, partially that, but also, you know, it's, I think for somebody who wants to get into business right now and wants to do business with the federal government, I think that that's where you are likely to make a play.
Okay.
You know, the top 100, Bloomberg just had a list of the top 100 federal government contractors. And by the way, there's a large number of federal agencies that are in the top 100 federal government contractors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're competing with the agencies as well as,
okay,
as competing with private.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of the primes, I mean, they're locked in at the top. These large, large primes are frankly, not agile enough to go after that business.
Okay.
So I do think there are opportunities there.
Is there still a lot of barriers? You know, there's a lot of, you know, whether it be AA or a lot of forms you got to fill out. Are those barriers prohibitive sometimes to some people? You know, in just 60 seconds, I mean, do you feel there's still open market for that small person if you, you know, to get in?
Yeah, you know, I actually talked to the House Armed Services Committee about this at their request. And one of the things I talked about was, you know, what the government should really do is, in order to get these niche products and services that are coming out, you know, and getting government to be able to get to something that is very precise, that meets a precise need of theirs, where small business tends to play really, really well, is, and don't laugh when I say this, but I think they ought to turn over that part of procurement to Amazon.
Hmm. Wow. Okay.
And create, you know, AmaGov.
Okay.
Where it's an open marketplace, and you can go in and you can buy, you know, what you need, and there's online competition, right, from various suppliers of that, or maybe there's no competition because you're the only supplier of it. But I think that a lot of the you know, think about the flow of funds. People in the D.C. metro area are thinking, you know, that it's government is centered here, but the buyers, a lot of the buyers are way out, right? So they're in local communities, and a lot of times the federal government is the largest employer in a particular community.
Right.
So why not have that be, you know, kind of a local first initiative where you are asked, as a government entity, you look locally first, you look online, you go to an AmaGov, and you have all the price competition that you need, but the buying just needs to be more flexible. You know, so I think we need to look at some alternatives like that. But I don't think anyone who is a small business should feel intimidated by the bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
You can play. It is a matter of, it's probably less about getting an SBA small business certification or something like that, although I think that's useful. But, you know, you're defined as a small business entity, whether you're 8A, you know, certified or SBA certified, just by your revenues and so on. So that's not really the big issue. But I do think it's important for small businesses to understand how to navigate the procurement process reasonably well. And that is not something that I think is all that intimidating. And if they can, you know, get on a supply schedule either through a reseller or someone like that versus a prime contractor, where, you know, invariably with primes and subs, you end up with a conflict of interest.
Okay.
And so that you don't need internal competition while you're trying to get your business fired up.
Right, right. You got the last word on that. That was some powerful stuff right there. We have to talk about that some more on another show, because that's so much that can, and I'm glad you gave that hope for small businesses out there. We started off with some doom. Now we ended up with some hope.
So
and you heard it here. AmaGov is AmaGov.com.
Spread the word.
Coming out in 2013. Linda, thank you so much for being on the show. We'll catch up with you in a few weeks.
Oh, my pleasure.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.